This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We are pleased to welcome from Los Angeles one of the people who was allowed inside Dodger Stadium, Michael Duarte, who covers all things LA sports for NBC LA. Michael, I'll ask you the same question that I asked, I'm asking my audience and asking everyone else. What did you think?
Hi, Amy. Thanks for having me on. I wasn't the only one inside. There were thousands of cardboard cutouts with me, so it wasn't...
It wasn't lonely?
It wasn't that lonely, exactly. Even though I was extremely far away from any other media member, there were cardboard cutouts surrounding me. I didn't get to see them because I wasn't in that section. Even cardboard cutouts of dogs in the load section 143 at Dodger Stadium. So I got dog man's best friend, and as well as tons of cardboard cutouts to talk to while I was talking to myself. But overall impressions, when you're there live, I imagine it sounds a lot and looks a lot different than it does on the television, especially with the artificial crowd noise and stuff. But we get, you know, what we hear more is the walk-up music. They are playing some sort of kind of artificial crowd stuff inside the stadium a lot, so we can hear that too. But I think it's a lot more quiet when you're there live than on the broadcast, as well as everything else I'm sure that goes in the broadcast. We had television monitors up on the concourse level as you walk around, so we can see everything, but we didn't have sound unless you like left to go to the media designated COVID bathroom or something. But overall impressions of the game itself, this offense that we're seeing from the Dodgers, which I'm going to steal from ESPN's Jeff Passan. He called it the Death Star. If the Yankees are the evil empire, the Dodgers are the Death Star, and it's fitting that both of them had to overcome a lot of drama before the game to take these victories today. And I think they look just as impressive as we thought they'd be heading into the MLB season.
What did they have to say about the atmosphere? And I know you can't talk to them in person. And in fact, if you want to describe to us the post-game procedure and what you do in order to get their reaction, I'd love to hear that too. But what did they say about finally getting to opening day and having it being an empty Dodger Stadium?
Sure. The first part of your question, how the post-game procedure works and even the pre-game procedure now. So our usual media access that we would get in normal times, quote-unquote normal times, we now have via Zoom, via video conferencing, and it's a Zoom webinar. So we log in, we raise our hand, we get called on by the moderator, which is usually a member of the Dodgers PR staff, and then we ask our question. The actual players, it's not much different for them. They go into the same media press conference room that they've always gone into at Dodger Stadium, only this time they have a large screen where they can either see our profile shots or just our name on a screen, and they can hear us asking the question. They don't have to deal with us face-to-face. That's probably something they enjoy about this pandemic. But that's how we now ask our questions in the postgame. Otherwise, it's not much different for them, but a little bit different for us. But it was actually convenient today because I knew I had to come on your show, so I left the stadium a little bit early after the game was over and was able to watch and do all the Zooms on my way home. There was no traffic out of the stadium. There was no traffic in the stadium. I'm actually liking baseball being played without crowds and without fans in the 2020 pandemic year.
No, don't
for those
say
reasons
that.
I mentioned,
don't
for
say
those
that.
Reasons, those selfish reasons I just mentioned. Now the second part of your question, how the players like playing without fans. It wasn't a question we necessarily asked after the game today, as I'm sure you heard or saw in those clips. But we've been asking it throughout the summer camp and leading up to this game. And I've been at the stadium for some of the summer camps and exhibition games leading up to it. with the pumped in crowd noise and such. So I knew kind of what to expect. It wasn't too different from those games, though you did feel the buzz and the excitement that you knew this game counted and it was opening day, especially with that very powerful pregame ceremony. But the players actually disagree with you, who doesn't like the crowd noise and just wants to hear kind of the raw, silent sounds of the game, the natural sounds of the game without the fans, that you would like, that we heard during the KBO games earlier this summer.
Mm-hmm.
Corey Seager, I asked specifically about that. He is a huge fan of the artificial crowd noise because he doesn't want people to hear strategy being played with his teammates, where to position players on shifts and for different batters. Obviously, players curse in the game, as we heard Jock Peterson. I heard him from the stands. I don't know if you guys heard him on television. I'm sure you probably did. So he enjoys that because he believes it masks those sounds that you have, the communication with the players. Though I think that's what we want as fans, an unadulterated access to those sounds and to those conversations, even if it is not suitable for work or for home broadcast sakes. But the players themselves, across the board, the consensus is they like the artificial noise. It is different. They know the fans aren't there, but it is as much as they can do to make it feel like they are there. Even the cardboard cutouts, they're in favor of.
Michael J. Duarte is with NBC LA, fresh off Dodger Stadium's opening night against the Giants. It's after hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So just to clarify, inside the stadium, you could hear Jock Peterson swear, but you can also hear kind of this low rumble of this pumped in crowd noise. So I guess that I'm wondering if you could hear him swear from wherever you were, then it really doesn't mask what the athletes are saying that much if you could hear from your perch.
Yes, and we've often been able to hear that at different times, even when fans are there, because we don't expect 50,000 fans to be cheering when Jock hits an inning-ending ground out to first base that ends a rally. So you can hear those things normally. I would imagine, though, on the broadcast, you're able to bleep them out or have time to do that. Again, I don't know if that's how it was on the broadcast, but I did see on Twitter that I think they caught it. So yeah, we can hear all of those things. And one funny thing that we point out, a balloon, a big aluminum inflatable balloon delayed the game, I believe, in the eighth inning.
Right.
I have no idea where that even came from, unless it came from a media member or a staff member. I saw the Dodgers tweet after the game, who did this or something along that nature, maybe thinking that somebody outside the stadium somehow got it inside the stadium, which would be a very cool trick to do. But yeah, that was very interesting to see. Normally, it would be a beach ball that would delay the game a little bit, but this time it was a aluminum balloon that somehow made its way into the infield.
Let's talk about Clayton Kershaw, because he was a scratch 4 hours before first pitch, and that certainly put a damper on opening day. What do we know about how long he will be on the IL?
Yeah, great question, Amy. And again, selfishly for me, I was minutes away from publishing my Kershaw's ninth career opening day start and all these quotes I had gotten from him from the day before, and then had to do a complete rewrite after that news broke, and then at the stadium to jump on all these press conferences after the announcement came. So as I heard you mention on your show previously, Clayton Kershaw injured his back while lifting weights in the weight room on Tuesday. I don't know if it is, as someone who myself who does have some chronic back problems, you know, anything can kind of set it off, but I've also had just, you know, off injuries while working out as well. So I'm not sure if this is an isolated incident for Clayton or if it has to do with the fact that he's had numerous back injuries over the last few seasons.
Mm.
But he did not want to announce 2 days prior on Tuesday that he wasn't going to make the start. The Dodgers were optimistic maybe he could. He got treatment around the clock. He really, really was trying to make this start. And if he wanted to gut and grind through it, I've been told from sources that he probably could have, but that the Dodgers erred on the side of caution on this one and said, look, you know, we still have 59 games to go after this. It's better to have a healthy Clayton Kershaw and not try to push this further and risk further injury. Dustin May had been told on Wednesday that he might need to be available for this start. We also were told as the media that Dustin May would probably piggyback off of Walker Buehler's start next Tuesday in Houston. So at some point, he was going to be ready to come back on the major league roster, the active roster. As far as how long Clayton will be out, they don't seem to believe this is anywhere near the herniated disc he suffered, I believe, in 2017.
Thank goodness.
Or the low back strain he suffered, which put him on the DL for many months prior. Talking to Dave Roberts today, they're not entirely sure of the timetable, but they're pretty confident if they can backdate to Tuesday him going on the injured list, that he should be available at some point when they go to Arizona for a four-game series starting on July 30th, ending on August 3rd, somewhere in there. If he's feeling up for it, he should be able to come off the IL and make his start and debut, I guess, for the 2020 season then.
Michael Duarte with us from Los Angeles. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. What about Mookie Betts? Gets his first hit, scores his first run. What's your reaction to them getting this deal done with him before he ever plays a game in Dodger blue, Michael?
That was absolutely surprising to me. And even though everybody was saying the right things during their Wednesday press conference announcing the Mookie Betts 12-year, $365 million extension, it really sounded to me that both sides saw an incredible opportunity here. And what I mean by that is that Mookie Betts and his team, his agents, his family, the people that are in his inner circle, you know, they look at this situation. The MLB is going to lose billions of dollars this year, and over half of the teams who would have been vying for Mookie Betts' skill set in the offseason aren't going to be able to offer him the kind of contract that he wanted and the kind of contract he turned down from the Boston Red Sox when he was talking extension with them at the end of last season. So I think he wanted to get this locked down because there is financial uncertainty beyond this year.
Mm.
The Dodgers, who knew that they were getting potentially a player who might not even play a game in that uniform as a couple months ago, Now they see a guy that they could potentially lock up long-term who wants to stay there. They both want to get a deal done. And with the $65 million signing bonus, the $115 million of deferred money, I think they see value in this compared to a deal like Mike Trout's, which was the record-breaking deal as far as extension or per years and dollars in baseball.
Michael, just about 90 seconds here, but there were also big news coming out of Orlando for LA sports fans because the Lakers got back on the court for the first time. Were you already at Dodger Stadium? How were you covering or following the Lakers?
Yes, I was already there. I had my iPad on with the Lakers game on one side, everything in front of me with the Zoom on my computer screen, and then looking up at the TV watching the Yankees and the Nationals at the same time. This is the time I want to be back at the station, which we're still working from home because we have 50 TVs everywhere, so I could have caught everything. But that's how I caught the Lakers scrimmage. They looked really good in the first half of that game, 12 points each for LeBron James and Anthony Davis, who only played the first half. And I believe they had an 11-point lead over the Mavericks at halftime. So they looked ready to go and ready to get those eight regular season tune-up games out of the way before the playoffs. The bigger thing for me was guys like Dion Waiters and J.R. Smith, this is their first time playing an actual game against another team, an opposing team in a Lakers uniform. I wasn't expecting a whole lot out of them, but they looked very good to me, hitting a bunch of threes in the game, bunch of good shots for those shooters. So I think there's a lot of optimism for the Lakers, and I think Vegas agrees with me. They're now the favorite to win the NBA championship, when before they had been tied with the Bucks and Clippers previously.
I mean, beware, Michael. When Vegas agrees with you, I would change your tactics. Try something else.
I agree with that too, Amy.
It's always good to talk to you, especially when right now you are juggling so many different hats and doing it all virtually. I mean, I'm really impressed with people who've managed to stay up on their teams and the news and the information, even though they don't have access. And that includes you. And I know how hard you work. So we appreciate a couple of minutes. You can follow Michael on Twitter at Michael J. Duarte, award-winning journalist for NBC LA, and was there at Dodger Stadium just a couple hours ago. We will definitely check in with you again, Michael. Thank you. Be safe.
Thanks, Amy. Appreciate it.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.